Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, it is Thursday and it's time for Shapeshifter. And our Shapeshifter today is the director of Ezobuhle Trading Enterprises, an engineering and logistics company. They're in the mining industry, focusing on mechanical engineering, civil engineering and transportation. Her background is, of course, in mechanical engineering, where she worked for the power utility for 12 years. She is a mother to three and has been married for about 11 years, right? Great to have Ezobuhle Sibawu on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Evening. Evening, Kapela. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. Thank you so much for asking. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic. How was your day? I know it probably was very busy.
It was a very busy day, but it was quite a productive day, so we celebrate being busy.
Yeah, being busy is good. Yeah, in the moment you're not busy, then you know something is not going right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, ma'am, for taking the time this evening. Really appreciate it. It's just before Youth Day. Your thoughts on Youth Day?
Sorry?
Your thoughts on Youth Day?
Oh, Youth Day. My thoughts on Youth Day is just it is a great day to remember where we come from,
yeah,
and how we've changed and grown as youth,
yeah,
as people. And I just wish the youth for today would actually really appreciate and understand, instead of just seeing it as a holiday or to have sports and whatnot, but to understand what we're actually celebrating.
Mm.
Because it's been quite a long road to get us to where we are today from what we're celebrating.
Yeah.
That happened years ago.
Yeah, sure. Well, we do hope that AMA 2000, for instance, will not just be celebrating the day at the malls and stuff. Nothing wrong with that, of course. But as long as, like you said, we remember where we come from and what it took for us to be here. So beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And Shapeshifter for today. And this is a segment that we try and get to understand the people behind the businesses, the careers, you know, some in academia, some in business and all that. I know that you are in business as well, but was also employed at some stage and all that. But for people who don't know Usis Ezobuhle, who are you? And I know this question might sound a little bit cliche, but some people find it very difficult. But when people ask you who you are, how do you describe yourself?
Okay, I'd say who is Ezobuhle? Ezobuhle is a very young, curious, hardworking woman who's into business. She started in the corporate world, obviously, and then over years she decided she wants to branch off to do her own thing, which she started at a younger age.
Yeah.
And the end game for her was not just to be a boss, but was to be the kind of boss she wanted to have.
Yeah.
And to have opportunities, to open up opportunities for other people.
Yeah.
You know, and try to teach as much as I can, whoever I come across.
Oh, beautiful. That's really beautiful. Let's go back a little bit then to your childhood, maybe where you grew up. Where are you from, and how was the environment back at where you grew up from?
Well, I grew up from a very, very small village
in
Eastern Cape called Itutwa.
Okay.
I know it sounds like a small village, which it is, but we there are a lot of people that come out there, brilliant people.
Yes, so, yes, and you're one of them, obviously.
I'm not blowing my own horn here, but
definitely.
Great people from there. So I'm from Edwidra, which is my town, a small village called Ebende.
Okay.
In the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
That's where I was raised, and I did some growing up there.
Yeah.
So that also played quite a big advantage on who I am today.
Mm.
Growing up from such a small area in the rural areas, you know.
Mm.
Yes. That's where I'm from. I'm an Eastern Cape girl.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Beautiful.
And my family is still there.
Beautiful. What do you say are some of the challenges that you faced as a young person growing up there? You know, I do know that with a lot of South African, you know, rural areas, there's infrastructure development problems. There's all sorts of things, schools and the way they should be or could be. But over and above those ones, some socioeconomic one, unemployment, poverty. Would you say those were some of the, you know, problems, challenges that you faced growing up?
Definitely. Definitely. I think anybody from where I'm from, even if not directly where I'm from, but from Eastern Cape, the smaller villages, we experience a whole lot of that. I mean, the inequality that we grew up around. I mean, for you, even today, I know it's a matter of when I was growing up, but even today, there's still some socioeconomic challenges, such as there are still no taps, there's still no roads, you know? So for you to go to school, you have to struggle and walk kilometers and kilometers. Like, those are things we had to watch people face, and that I grew around with. And yeah, those were, for me, the highlights, you know? And unemployment. A person, even the ones that try so hard to make it to matric, they still don't get work. And without work, people just sit there, do nothing, and there's no growth, there's no development.
And what kept you going, even against such odds?
I could say the upbringing from my mom. My mom was quite a strong, very strong person. She's a very strong lady, and my mom has always reminded us daily, like literally, that I've suffered so much, I've given up so much, so that you guys can do better. And that's what she's always done. You know, I always make a joke, not a joke, like we always laugh about it with my husband, when I tell that, you know, my mom always used to say, I never even had a car. Until you guys were okay, you know. So those are the things that motivated me to not to disappoint her, to do better, to try and see what and how I can change a few things from where I come from and for my life and my future kids.
So obviously that would have an influence then on the mother that you are, the wife that you are, the business person that you are today.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I try so hard to do so much for my kids to make things different, but at the same time, not being totally soft on them so that they feel they don't have to try harder. They also have to try to be their own people, not just live under my shadow, which is what my mom did.
Yeah.
She worked so hard, tried to raise us to be our own people, independent people, but at the same time, as much as giving us love, but not to, that too soft love, like it was more like tough love, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it motivates you to do better, like
definite,
to try.
Definitely.
To try. You just want to try and always do better.
Yeah, sure. So how do you navigate wearing all these hats? During the day, you're a businesswoman running errands, running a business, you know, meetings, that and the clients, you know, giving you trouble. Come back, you need to be a mother and a wife. How easy is it navigating all these hats?
It's really not. I know sometimes we like to give this picture of being superwoman.
Yeah.
Yes, we are strong women. Don't get me wrong. We are, but it's not as easy as it sometimes looks like it is when looking for the system. I mean, today I had to be in Pretoria, and then after that I had to be in a meeting in the morning, and then later on I had to go fetch my kids from school because they're not off early.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of knowing how to juggle, and most importantly, the support you have.
So support.
Fortunately, I have quite a good support from my husband and family, because I sometimes have my sisters and, you know, come through for me, and my husband also gave me support. But it's really not easy. You just have to manage your time. That's one thing I've mastered. My diaries, it's like literally clear. This time I'm meeting so and so. This time I'm meeting so and so. If there's an opening, I do this. It's really not easy. At work, you're the boss. You go to meetings. Other things need you.
Yeah.
You can't just ask anybody to do them on your behalf.
Yeah.
And then if you have to have kids at school that do sports that want your attention and love, and also have to remember you're still a mother and a wife. So when you get home, it's not just day over for you. You still have to play your role, you know, just show them, give them the love and the attention they also deserve. Because sometimes it gets all swamped up in business and mode to an extent that we kind of overlook them. And unfortunately, my kids are still young.
Yeah.
So they still need a lot of attention. I mean, the twins are only six. My first one is eight. So I have to try juggle. And I'm not mastering it yet, but I'm getting there.
I'm sure. Before you talk about Ezobuhle trading then, let's talk about your career. 12 years at the power utility. What was that like?
It's a very interesting career that taught me a lot. I know now at the moment nobody really wants to be associated much in that industry.
Because of everything
that's going on.
Definitely.
I'll boldly and courageously admit that it taught me a lot. There's a lot you can learn there, and it helped me to where I am in a way today, because most of what I do and I focus on is mechanical engineering. Yes, we also do civils and logistics, but it's mostly mechanical, which taught me a lot. When I got there, I was just on the learning phase. When I got there, 2011. And then I started learning this and that. Then I moved to different departments. Went up to managerial level where I was running outages and all that, but it taught me a lot. And it was interesting to get to know the understanding of things, how it's generated, the challenges you come across, to understand how you produce power, how you get it to the people, the whole process.
Sure.
You know, and it becomes very interesting. It teaches you a lot, and you end up knowing different sets of spares and how the importance of this and what it does. And it has taught me a lot. I must say I'm very grateful for the time and the opportunity of growth I had in the utility. I know now everybody, it's a hot potato.
It is.
But it is. And yes, we're all going through it, but it taught me a lot.
I would never
ever trade what I learned there, because no one else would teach me the way they did.
We are going through a lot because of them. So, Jonga, please allow us the space.
I know. But, guys, I'm also going through the most. I was worried. I might just lose network.
Exactly. You see, so we are going through a lot. But, you know, I suppose you're quite right. We could really cut them some slack a little bit. You know, it's not easy running that particular ship with politics, with everything else involved. I'm sure it must be very difficult. From Idujwa, or Idujwa, as some people say it, to 12 years at the power utility in mechanical engineering and all those sort of stuff. What drew you to mechanical engineering? Did you love it from growing up?
No, actually.
Okay.
In my head, let me tell you, in my head, I thought I would be a mine engineer.
Yeah.
Initially. Okay, the marks didn't agree to take me on the mine engineering part, and then I ended up doing mining and mineral processing. Whereas after, and then I worked at, there's a little mine there, where I worked at Dolomite Mine, say Littleton Bay.
Yeah.
I did my service training there.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I struggled to, there was that recession that happened.
Yeah.
So I was busy looking for work. And then I had, there was a lady by the name Lee, who had all my details and everything. So there was the, it's called the BMS side, the coal side of the utility.
Yeah.
You know, so I got as a temp there, I got work through this labor program. Maybe some of you might have heard of it, Cousins. So I got in there, and then when I started being in the utility, I started being more curious rather than on the mineral processing side, the coal side. I started being more curious on and understanding as well of how the power is generated and produced. then that's where I started sharing interest aside. And then I started studying. I got a bursary. That's why I'm saying the company has been good to me. The
internet has been good. We see you.
That's why I cannot, no matter what happens. I have to say, listen, they've done good here. And I'm part of the good.
Yeah, true.
So I got a bursary and then I started and then I got my diploma and then and then after that, I started working. I got trainings, you know, the levels of growing up. And then I also went to, they also, 4 years down the road, I applied again. And I went to University of Pretoria where I did my project management. So that's when I started being on the outage side, on the utility. And yeah, so... Yeah, it was never initially my end game, but guess what? Yeah. Life will always redirect you to what you love.
Yes.
Because now I ended up finding myself in the mining industry.
Yeah.
But it was never my first hand, like my initial career path.
Mm.
But at the end of the road, I went through that to take me back to what I wanted.
Mm.
Because now I'm in the mining field and now I'm actually more experienced on the mining and mineral side and all the mechanical side. So in a way, it balanced me off.
Sure. What would you say are some of the challenges, looking back at 12 years, you know, what would you say are one or two challenges that you faced in the career?
I won't say my growth was slow. My growth was moving quite well, actually. One thing I could highlight was the stress. There are some times where you feel it's like you're not doing enough, but at the same time, not everything is in your shoulders and up to you to fix. And one thing I've also faced is, I know this will sound a bit of a cliche, but it is more like a boys' club out there.
Yes.
So as a young, I mean, I'm only 34.
Yeah.
So as a young female there, you like really have to prove yourself over and over again, you know? But that also pushes you to learn more and not be stagnant, you know? It pushes you to want to learn more and to work harder. So, yeah, I could say in my, that's what it's taught me, to work harder, to always prove myself and to always push myself.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
Like you said, I mean, that was definitely going to be one of my questions. So it's a male-dominated industry. I'm sure navigating that space wasn't easy at all. Where did you find the peace, the motivation through it all? I'm sure there were challenges and times when you felt like, yo, ngathing zo yeka lento.
Zinkani put.
Yeah.
I am a very mnangnengan.
Yeah.
And if I want something and whenever I get bashed on, like hated or discouraged, that's when actually, for me, that's a motivation.
Yeah,
I might cry about it and talk about it, but trust me, when I'm over and I've worked with you, I'm going to prove to you that I can do this.
Mm.
And not just for you, but for myself, so that I don't keep doubting myself as well.
Yeah.
Because if you keep being tested and challenged, you end up doubting yourself as if, am I doing the right thing? Or why, you know? So at some point you have to just do it. This is what I want. I'm going to do it. And I'm not just doing it to prove to you.
Yeah.
I'm doing it also to prove to myself that I deserve being here.
Yeah.
And I can also play a role, a very good contributive role on what I'm doing.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that kept me going.
Kept you going. Ezobuhle, tell us a little bit about the company.
Ezobuhle is my baby.
Yes.
Like, I know people might say it's been there for a while.
Yes.
Ezobuhle was open the time I was frustrated, not working.
Okay.
2008.
Yeah.
And things are just not, you know, when you have this idea.
Yeah.
After I graduate, I'm going to work. I'm going to get myself a car. I'm going to do this for my mom. Yep. I'm going to have this.
Yep.
And it was just not happening.
Yeah.
And it was just frustrating time. So there were some guys that were had been there before me that we started with. So they're like, no, man, you could register a company. We're trying to do this on our own, a company to do quantity surveys and whatnot. So I also registered this while still putting my CV out there. And the company was registered, and then it started off very slow. I remember my first job was to do catering.
Sure.
My first job was catering. Sure. And even for that, I had to like call my mom to come through for me, you know. And then my boyfriend, who was now my husband, also to come through for me. So it was a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
And then, but that's when Ezobuso was born. And I never gave up on it, even when I started working. Ezobuso was always there in the background as something that I have, as something that I'd like to pursue and focus on. And the time went on. That dream became alive. And as I kept getting work after work, this and that, and my husband is in the civil engineering world for years. So he started as well as the ranks of technician, engineer, site manager, project manager, and all that. So, yeah. And then we started marketing. We also got some work, and then it just kept growing and growing and growing. It's still a small baby, but it's grown quite a lot.
So for women in the who want to get into the mining sector, what would you say then are the lessons that you've learned, one or two that you can share with them? Maybe even advice to say, as you get into this industry, watch out for one or two things.
When you go into the mining industry, one thing you have to prepare yourself for is, especially on the business side, you're not bringing something totally unique they haven't came across. You are, as much as you're experienced and that's your turf, where you're comfortable, you must also know that somebody else is also doing it. So whenever you go there and whatever you do or deliver, you must know that you do your best and representing who you are and how you want your company or your business or your services to be portrayed. But that's one thing I'd advise. And there are challenges there. There's a lot of people, everything is urgent. There's too much pressure. Don't let it get you. Don't let it get you. And don't think you can do each and every job.
Yeah.
I know as small businesses want to grab everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Sometimes you have to sit back, reflect, and be like, no, I can't. Because sometimes you want to grab everything. You know, you get this, come. Quote this for me, do this for me, do this for me. Urgent. Yeah, I don't want to deliver. And that has taught me a lot, that sometimes you just have to sit back and be like, no, I can only be able to do this next week. I can only do this time for this period. So, and it is also a dominated industry, by the way. So you also have to know that you're going to be dealing with people, and not all clients are going to be understanding.
Yes.
And not all clients are going to be understanding your vision and understanding your experience or trusting your knowledge in what you're saying. So you just have to keep, be humble and give them opportunity.
Yes.
And once you get that opportunity, just express yourself and show to your clients, whoever, that this is who you are, so that next time if you have an opportunity to deal with you, they know that they must relax. They know that you've got this, you understand this. They don't have to micromanage you and try to lead you to do things their way. They let you do what you are an expert on.
Sure. As a person in your career, both as an employee at the time and then now as a business owner, what would you say is the high point so far?
My high point would be the growth. The growth as in, you know, when I was employed, there were certain things I took for granted. But now as a business owner, I've learned to understand. And at the same time, the growth, that the knowledge I have, the curiosity that I've had and I had to look into has taught me so much. It has taught me so much, and I don't know, how do I put this? For some reason, when something is like your baby, you just want everything so specifically in a certain way, so that, I mean, wherever I go, I want to be known as Uzowuhle. That company does it.
Yeah.
That company is taught me to be so professional. It's taught me to be so humble.
Yeah.
It's taught me to be so calm. And it's taught me to also learn or learn to be calm and to, like, even if I'm in the right, it's taught me to be humble enough to say, okay, I see your point.
Yeah.
But I was seeing more or less this point without having to be offensive of how I put it across. It just helps me to be a patient person.
Sure. That's beautiful. Now, we are a business and money show, and so we love the topic of money, amongst other things that we love on this show. How would you personally define your relationship with money, personally?
Personally, I would say I have got a good relationship with money.
Yeah, you're one of the few, eh?
The reason I say so,
saying
I have a good relationship doesn't mean I have lots of it or much of it. It just means I've learned to understand.
Yes.
How to manage it.
Okay.
And by the way, I've learned through mistakes.
Yes. Yes.
I've learned through mistakes.
Yeah.
So, but I've learned to kind of know how to juggle and balance off, if you know what I mean. You know, and you make mistakes and then you learn from that you know what, I didn't have to buy that. I could have invested more on this. That could have given me more interest later on, or that could have enabled me to at the long run to have more money to save. You know, that's my relationship with money. And I think growing up under my mom's wing of not having much, it also taught me to be very calm when I deal with money, like mentally calm when I deal with money.
Yeah.
And yes, not to allow pressure. And through the mistakes I've made, and I've learned quite a lot.
What is the one or two mistakes that comes to mind, jumps off at you?
Oh, Lord, I had a contract.
Okay.
I went on to buy a car.
Yeah.
You know? And it was going well, but I realized at the long run, no, man, I didn't have to buy this car. And the car I bought was not really contributing to the business. If you know what I mean.
Yes.
It was good for me to drive around because I could go to meet and all that.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it started slowing down, you know, when they stop things, they say they've run out of funds. You think you have a contract for like 3 years.
Eish.
And then your contract ended up being 1.5 years because they've run out of funds.
They've run out of funds.
Now you're stuck with a vehicle.
Sure.
You know, that you could have done without. It made sense at that time, you know, but you realize, no, man, I didn't have to. Those are some of the mistakes I've done. Those are some of the choices I've had to live with. And ubeka ipride yakhe ecaleni ebhuti and stop ubani uzothini uyibuyisele tata.
Uyibuyisele
tata, take it back. And then go back to basis. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
This I've learned.
Yeah.
Rather struggle with the little I have until I'm ready to have what I might need for future in a less stressful environment.
Sure. And it obviously has an impact on your credit score and all those sort of stuff, taking it back, because you also think about that as well.
Yeah. But this is the thing for me. When you say take it back, you take it back before they want it back.
Yeah.
You must take it back on your own.
Yeah.
Or you must find a way of replacing it. Like, you take it, like you say, this is what's happening now. I'm selling the car.
Yeah.
Move the car, clear off, and start back from basis. Like
basic, basic. Yeah.
God is reset. You know, and as much as you can cry and complain, but you know, I had a clear contract. This was unarrested. I could have managed. They let me down. Sometimes also the choices you make, they help you, or they get you to understand better how to spend money. You know, there's some point where I'm still young. I made a lot of mistakes, Tapel. Even now, I haven't mastered them, but I've learned a lot as well.
Yeah.
You know, when you work and got a contract or you have a business, we sometimes think that's our money. That's the business money. So you must pay yourself a salary.
Yeah.
You must pay yourself a salary and you must live within your salary. Mm. And not think that everything comes in there is for you to just spend anyway.
Mm.
Those are the things you learn and they help guide you and shape you later on. Mm.
So yeah. do you have money conversations with your kids and what do those look like? What do you say to them?
Ooh, you know, I am laughing.
Yeah.
Because I just opened bank cards for the twins.
Yeah.
6-year-old.
Yeah.
And you know, now they were given some money.
Yeah.
And each and every they're given five rand each.
Yeah.
And they came to tell me that, Mommy, please go put this in the bank.
Yes.
So that you can save it.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
You know? So I tried to teach them. My 8-year-old has had a bank account for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Every time my sisters were ever, I'm like, put it in a bank. And yes. I tried to explain that. If you leave it there, it will last longer.
Mm.
You know, like I tried to teach them. I tried the piggy bank.
Mm.
That didn't go well.
Okay.
I must admit. No,
they opened it up.
They opened it up. We went to Montgomery for a holiday.
Yeah.
And my kids, you know, when you change environment.
Yeah.
This side, it's a closed-in environment from them. And that side is different. They've got cousins and whatnot.
Yes.
They learned to put it in a called Obundi.
Oh.
Which they didn't know.
Ooh.
Now my kids rip that apart. I'm like, okay, now let's go back to bank account. But I do have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And they also, I've also taught them to understand that you must work for your money and try save as much as you can.
Mm.
Which is something I teach them that, you know, you do your chores and then during the weekend, then Friday, you get rewarded.
Mm.
Then you go spend. You mustn't spend all your money.
Mm.
You must choose what's important to you at that time, and then go for it. So on Saturdays, they'll choose. One will say, "I want ice cream." One will say, "No, mommy, I want sweets or something."
Mm.
It's what I want now, which is because I ask, "What's important to you now?"
Mm.
And then one will say, "I want ice cream." One will say, "I want this." Then it's a matter of teaching them to prioritize what's important, not to just blow everything you have.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm still young, so I've still got a lot to go.
Yeah, definitely. But at least the foundation is clearly being put there for them to get there. Now, as we draw to a close, what advice would you give your younger self?
Don't doubt yourself.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
I've doubted myself so much because of my background.
Mm.
Because of the disadvantages I had to come across, you know? For you to know what a cinema is at the age of 15 is this day and age, other people find that as embarrassing.
Mm. Mm.
Because at the age of 9, they go to movies. They know what that is. You know, you doubt yourself.
Mm.
And you doubt yourself so much to the thing that even when you're in the right, and you know, you can't come forth and say, this is how it should be.
Mm.
You know, don't doubt yourself.
Mm.
And you can go far.
Mm.
You know, that's my younger self. Don't doubt yourself, Zoe.
Mm.
You can actually go far.
You can go
and
far.
And you can go far. The sky is the limit. Like, literally, it is.
And what would you have done differently?
What would I have done differently? Mm. I think I would have... what would I have done differently, honestly? There isn't much I would have.
Yeah.
There isn't much I would have done differently. Mm. But I do think... my younger self and the person I am now would have tried to be more understanding of how things were. Because at the younger age, I was thinking like a kid, more naive. You know what I mean? Now that I'm older now and I see things differently, You know, and I so wish I had people that could have guided and directed me the way I try to have an input now to younger kids of where I come from. I wish I had somebody to coach me and guide me, but
yes,
like I try to do now
yeah.
with the youngsters that I come across
yeah.
and I deal with.
Yeah, sure. That's beautiful, and may God bless you for that work. Lastly, where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
In 10 years from now, I'm Zali, my dream
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
color.
Yeah.
My dream is
color. Yep.
I see Izobuse on a higher scale company.
Yeah.
I see Izobuse doing better, employing more young youth. You know, in my business, I work with youngsters. Which is something I've always wanted, to give an opportunity to the young people to share the info, to groom them. You know, my safety officer is only 24. And I'm grooming him, I'm taking him to trainings, and my husband's also taking him under his wing to show him. That's what I do. So in 10 years time, I want my company to be that business that gives opportunity to young people. I want to be that business that has grown. You know those people that when you go for these motivational speaking,
yeah.
you say, let's take an example with Uzubuhle.
Yeah.
I want that I want my business to be that. And I don't just want it for credit and for showing for making money. I want the people that I've actually helped and had an impact in their lives to be the one to say that about me. Not my money or whatever I've achieved, or I want the people that I've had an impact on to be the ones to say that about the company. In 10 years time, you know, I want it to be there to be able to do more than what the little I can do now, you know, to be able to, instead of me being able to try contribute 5 pairs of shoes, soccer kit day, sponsor this and that. I want to be able to take about 5 kids to school.
That's beautiful.
You know, to change, especially where I come from. I know it might sound selfish, but if you know where I come from in Eastern Cape,
yeah.
you'll understand what is it that I see. To see a child
yeah.
that walks barefoot for 5 kilometers to go
yeah.
to school,
yeah.
carrying books in a plastic bag for that kid that had rice.
Yeah.
You know those empty containers? You
yeah.
know when you buy rice?
Yeah.
It's because you don't have a school bag.
Yeah.
That's where I come from. That's what I see when sure. I go home. Which is something that maybe think maybe to start off and have maybe 5 to 10 pairs of for these small kids. Because if they have to walk barefoot, like it's winter now, white frozen. What makes you think that child is going to be motivated to every morning their food, a godola, kubanda, to do that for the next 13 years?
Yeah, it's going
to
be
so
very
for me, that's what I wish I could be able to do.
Yeah.
I would like to help people that can actually speak on behalf of their experience with my company and how we built them.
Yeah. Thank you so much. 10 seconds or less. Any last words to our listeners?
Guys, stay humble, work hard, don't doubt yourself. And if it's not your opportunity, accept it as it is. Clap for those ones that are having their time. Your time will come.
Your time will come.
And always stay humble and be kind and have a great, 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 enjoyable, warm, long weekend.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, ma'am. And we continue to wish you the best as well in your business, in your career as well, with the kids and the family. I certainly do hope that we can connect with you 3-5 years from now. Like you said, Izobuhle being a brand that's recognized almost internationally as well. But we want to thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you very much. And thank you to your listeners and you guys as a station for having me.
Thank you so much, ma'am. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Usisi. You know, she's running a business that for instance, I know, and I really love what they do. Right? I must be honest with you. In the mining industry, it's certainly not an easy, it's not an easy business to be in, but she continues to shine there. This is Buhle Sibawu there. So great, great interview.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.